Yes, and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. A couple things from public reading. But again, it's just one thing you get from the examples of the Old Testament is every single person got to make a choice of who you're going to imitate. You know, that we see it with the kings, but it's true of the people as well. You know what, the election's coming. One thing that is very certain, we as a people get what we deserve. Leadership is a reflection of the people as a whole. Now, leaders have a responsibility to set an example, for sure, but particularly in a place where we get to choose, it's a very good representation of the people as a whole. Brethren, we have a responsibility as Christians. You know, I was appreciative of some of the things that Larry was talking about. You know, it is really easy to let the world set the standard of what's normal. And the world's standard of what is normal is not normal. It's depraved. It's twisted. It's perverted. It's not. The Scripture sets the standard of what is normal. And so we have to be really careful that we don't just follow along and compare ourselves with the world. I've noticed the church has a tendency to be about 20 years behind the world. That's not the standard. I'll probably work that into my message a little bit today too. But the other thing I want us to notice from public reading is God notices. He notices His people. He pays attention to us. He hears our cries. He is concerned about us. And I'll just fast forward to the end of Romans 8 because it's going to be weeks and weeks before we get there. You know, but, you know, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Amen? I have one other announcement. On beginning this Wednesday evening, we are going to be breaking up into groups. So we'll still come here together and do our singing and everything together. And then we'll probably have at least initially, we'll have a joint prayer session. I think down the road we might take some weeks where we just do prayer sessions in our groups. But we're going to break into groups after the singing. And it's going to be the same topic for all the groups. But just to get a little more interaction from the brethren and help the brethren make sure you guys are thinking through and working your way through on what the Bible says. So that'll be fun. It'll be a fun new thing, so I encourage you to come. It's an opportunity. We're in the middle of Parables of the Kingdom, but it's going to be out of Matthew chapter 18. And so it's just an opportunity for you to come and to grow. And if you want a little more fellowship and want that mind stimulated and to be ready to think your way through what the Scripture says, come here. And maybe some of us are working with people and they're not quite Christians yet. They haven't been coming to assemblies or the big group Bible studies. That's a good thing too. You can invite them too, and they're going to get some good solid scriptural teaching, but also an opportunity to ask questions and have a little more input in that way. So just wanted to mention that. All right, Romans chapter 8 is where we are, beginning in verse 12. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You. We thank You that You are our Father. We thank You, Lord, for the Spirit whom You have given to us as our helper, that He bears witness with our spirit that we are Your children. Lord, we're thankful for the promises that you've given to us, that if we will live by the Spirit, then we do put to death the deeds of the flesh. We're thankful, Lord, for the conditions, for the means by which you declare us your sons and daughters. And one that we see here from this passage is that those who are being led by your Spirit, these are sons of God. Father, we're thankful for the promise of us receiving the inheritance with you. I pray today that you would be with me as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and Lord, that each of us would really fix our mind on the eternal. That we would understand that the inheritance of the only lasting inheritance, Lord, is the things of heaven. And that anything that's here on this earth is gonna be burned up. The moth and rust are gonna destroy, the thieves break in and steal. But the heavenly things last forever. So help us to set our mind on the things above. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. And one other thing I was gonna say, tonight is shotgun, and it's not just normal shotgun, it's hot seat shotgun. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's some, I'm going to play the devil's advocate a little bit. I'll be, depending on how equipped you are to handle it, I'll try to have a little wisdom there in that. But to ask some, you know, some questions that are pretty typical objections to various parts of the gospel. There's six guys there's only five guys who are going to do this, but there's six names that I came up with that I want you to see me afterwards. Please don't get out of here without seeing me, or else you might be very last minute. And I don't know if that's totally fair on this one. So, Mike W., Nolan, Levi, Roger, Will Serrano. That's only five, isn't it? Oh boy, who's getting... Oh, Mr. Dobson. And then if there's any... I like that you were sweating all Sunday. I mean, thinking all Lord's Day night. That's great. Now you got all afternoon too. And then actually, if there's anybody else who's interested in it, okay, who would, you know, it was interesting because I got some texts and I had some interaction. I know this scares some of you guys to death. And that's good. I mean, I remember in college, one of my professors, and he was also my, I forget what they call it. The guy who's supposed to be advisor. Thank you. Yes, my advisor. And you know, one day I was in his class, and I did well in college. I got decent grades and everything. And one day I'm talking with him, and he's like, and I said, you know, I said, Dr. Schaefer, you know I know my stuff, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to call on me in class. And just let you know. He's like, you think that I don't know that it scares you to, you know. He says, I'm going to keep right on calling you in class. So if you'd like to volunteer, okay, and let some of these other souls off of the hook that got named, you can come and join afterwards too. And we'll just talk quickly and we'll try to line up some of the questions so you can make sure you know what you're doing. All right, let's get into the message here. Romans chapter 8, what we read in verses 12 through 18. We talked about the fact that we are children of God. And, brother, that is an amazing thing. To think that we were outside of the house. We were separated from God, weren't we? We had no part in the commonwealth of Israel. We were we had no hope. We were without God in this world. Do you remember what that was like? There might be some of us here this morning that's where we are. You are in a state of hopelessness. All of us were. God did something. All of Romans leading up to this, he's building on this, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ came. Among other reasons, he came to bring us back into fellowship with the Father. He came, Mr. Simpson's been going through a great class on the tabernacle in the Christian in the morning, and when Jesus died on the cross, that veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, that veil was torn in two from top to bottom. Through Jesus, through his death, particularly in this context, through his death, that way was made open for us to come into the house of God. And so the scripture tells us that, you know, if we have the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. And as children, you know, we cry out, Abba, Father. My emphasis is not here this morning, but I am going to just mention it. Brother, there is, again, we can't use the world standard for the way this works. Because in the world today, the way that the typical household in America works, it's upside down. It, you know, Abba is a good thing. It's Daddy. I love you, Daddy. And I like when my kids call me Daddy. You know, my older kids don't do it so much. You know, that's okay. Be a little weird, probably. But, you know, I remember Matthew when I was, you know, he 19. It'd be weird if he called me Daddy now. But, man, I remember coming home from work, and he'd be up there on the couch. You know, he could barely talk. You know, but he'd be just waiting there at the window for me to get home. And he'd, you know, Daddy, Daddy. That's good, isn't it? Hey, and we cry out to, you know, it actually isn't that bad. It's just the world would think it's weird if Matthew's saying Daddy. But there's still something there that says, I love you. So Matthew, my relationship now, it's more like, hey, I love you, man. You know, and that's all right. That works for me. Okay? But Abba says, Daddy, I love you. But that's not it. It's also Abba, Father. There is a recognition of who Dad is. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but in the book of Malachi, God asked the question of the children of Israel, particularly Judah, it would be at this point in time. But he says, if I am a father, then where is my honor? There is a tendency, brother, and this passage of scripture from Romans 8 is very focused on to build us up and to edify us and to help us understand who we are in Christ. But there is a message of Christianity that is so one-sided, the way that it's presented today, that it's like you're a child of God, God loves you, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you're going, you're good. That is not the Father that we read about in the Scriptures. I've said before, there's a reason that God is called the Heavenly Father and not the Heavenly Mother. There's a reason he's called the Heavenly Father and not the Heavenly Grandfather. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and read that and you'll understand it. Okay? Our Father, I just had a discussion with one of my children recently, and I was like, okay, I want you to understand, when I say this, you have a choice. You get your attitude right. Okay? You know me. You get your attitude right, or I will deal with you. And you know what that means. And I went on and I explained, I care enough about your soul that I'm not going to let you do that. Okay? But as a dad, I will deal with it. Okay? God, we have a Heavenly Father. And when we say Abba, Father, we understand who He is. You know, the prodigal son, a great parable. Okay? But that son, okay, when he comes home on Dad's terms. Dad's waiting for him. He's watching. He goes even running out to meet him. But the son comes home on Dad's terms. We don't ever want to forget that. So as children of God, you know, in tying this in with kind of some of the stuff Larry was saying, you know, within my family, the primary motivation in our family is it's a motivation of love. We are a family. And we love each other. But there is something understood that this is the way that the Wilson, this is the way we do things. And in God's family, there's an understanding, there's a recognition. God has said that in our family, this is the way we do things. And I feel compelled, brethren, to point this out because some of us are a little bit rebellious children. And if you're rebellious in your attitude towards God, at some point, there's the door. Okay? So, this is supposed to be encouraging who we are. We're children of God. But there is both sides of this. Abba, Father, Daddy. And then, Daddy, Sir, what do you want, Dad? I'm willing to do that. whatever you say, Dad. And, you know, we know, guys, we know our dad. He's perfect. Everything that he asks, everything that he wants, the Christian way. You know, this isn't the Wilson way, the Wilson household. This is the Christian way. And this is God's household. But in my family, we do things a certain way for a certain reason. In the family of God, God knows everything that he asks us is for good, isn't it? And it's for our eternal benefit. He shifts gears here. What I want to preach on this morning particularly is that if we're children, we're heirs also. God wants you to understand something. In this household, in this family, you benefit. You benefit from being a child of God. We have, right now, we have all of his protection. Right now, we have resources. And right now, he's going to not hold anything back from what's necessary to help us carry out his mission. But there is a day, guys, there's a day when we've completed our mission on earth. And we're going to understand and reap the full inheritance that the Lord has promised to us. If children, then heirs also. You know, there are a lot of challenges in this life. I'm 44. And I think about 34 wasn't that long ago. And there's a whole nother set of challenges at 44 than 34. I talk to some of you who are 54 and you say, just wait. And some of you are 64. You know, it keeps going up. But you know, even spiritually, brethren, I understand. I've been around long enough to have a deep admiration for people who are faithful until death. Because this life is full of challenges. The tempter doesn't quit the day that you get immersed into Jesus Christ. A matter of fact, Kevin, let's say you get immersed into Jesus Christ, you get a target on your back. He's coming after you. And I don't have to fill you in on what the scripture says. Look at when Jesus came, or when Satan came to tempt Jesus. And Jesus resisted him. The devil fled from him, just as the scripture promises. But he was coming back. He's going to come back in an opportune time. And so, you know, the devil knows when you're discouraged. He knows when you're tired. He knows when you got some struggles, and he's going to come back in, and he's going to set those snares in just the right places. He's been watching your tracks, man. He's going to put it right in the path. That's the way that this Satan works. So it's important, brethren, that we keep focused on the things above and that we keep our perspective. So to me, one of the great challenges of this life is to keep the perspective of eternity. Everything that I've ever seen in this life has a start date and a finish date to it. Everything, there's time clocks. You know, there's a morning the alarm clock goes off, and there's a time that the sun goes down, and some hours later you close your eyes, and there's a start and a finish to everything. There's a day that I was born. There's a day that physically I'm going to die. There's a day that everybody around me that I know, I see people born, I see people die. Start and finish. And it's easy to get trapped into this world, the time in this life, that is it. Brother, that's what the scripture calls, this is the temporal, the earthly tent. Okay? And, you know, you've seen the t-shirts that he who dies with the most toys wins. You know, I totally disagree with that. But you know what I'm thankful about that t-shirt? It says the way most people think. Most people think about, I want to get what I can get right here, right now, today. And I'll just say by way of passing, not that I'm... By the way, guys, whoever's putting certain bumper stickers back there, promoting or trashing certain candidates, you can't do that here. Okay? So just we can talk about any of the issues, but we are tax exempt, so you're not allowed to say that certain people should be in prison or, you know, that kind of stuff, or, you know, that's your goal. So please, you have to keep those, and you're welcome to share with each other privately what you think about that. But I will just say, you know, I'm not particularly interested in having either Trump or Clinton be my president. I want Jesus Christ to be my king. And I'll say that. But, you know, with everything that goes on, you know, the temporal is what's promised. You know, it's, hey, who gonna give you the most? And nobody ever stops to ask, where's that coming from? The government can't just give you something unless they take it from somebody else. It is the way, but people don't really care. It's short term. And this is designed. Bro, I'm convinced our whole economic system, if you follow it through logically, it doesn't make sense to save money. I hate to tell you that, but it doesn't make sense to save money because your money is worth so much less a year from now than it is today. And most people don't go through the math and figure it all out, but your mind picks up on that and it's like, I'm going to spend. As a matter of fact, I'm going to spend it before I have it. And that's a whole system that our whole economic system is based off of debt. Now that's a problem, brethren, because it produces in us habits of a way of thinking. Instant gratification. I want what I want now. And I don't care if I haven't earned it yet. I'm going to take it now and I'll worry about paying for it tomorrow. That will put you in a, if that's the way you live your life, you will end up in a place of hell. You want to play now, you will pay later. Or you can get the spiritual perspective and get your head screwed on right, and you can understand that this life is temporal. James says it's a vapor. Appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I remember an illustration my dad gave one time. It just stuck with me. He's, you know, driving on a cold day and you're going to pass a semi, and you know, there's that vapor that's coming out of that semi, that, you know, exhaust me. It's here and gone. I don't care what age you want to put on it, 70, 80, 90, maybe you plan on living till 100. Please no, Lord. But it here and gone. And eternity is forever. You remember Esau? Esau, man, he could not think past this moment. He despised his birthright. He traded it for something temporal. You know, it's the most expensive meal you could ever buy. He traded away double portion of the family's inheritance. Oh, and the lineage through which Christ was going to come. He traded all of that away for a bowl of stew. Some of us, maybe we trade away for steak dinners or, you know, nicer car or whatever. This really got to me this last week, because there's a guy I met 4 years ago. Somewhere around 4 years ago. And he was, I mean, not a true Christian, but he was a spiritual young man. He was college age. Very interested in Christ and openly talked about Jesus and open, you know, and I wanted to follow up and get to know him. He didn't live here in Billings. I met him somewhere else, but I got to know him a little and just tried to do a little follow up, and we became friends on Facebook, and I only had one other interaction with him later, and again I had some spiritual conversation stuff, but I could see him kind of, the high was wearing off a little. And life was the sins of this world were rushing back in on him. And he said, we're friends on Facebook, and usually the thing about Facebook, people will tell you where they're at. And I could just see, I was like, wow, I wouldn't have even known this guy believed in Christ. I don't know if he did. And the reason it hit me a week ago is I come to find out, I mean, it was obvious on Facebook or stuff that came out, he committed suicide. Young guy. Early 20s. How could life be? Because life is that bad. Outside of Christ, if this is all there is, it isn't enough. Anybody that's actually thinking about this is going to get depressed. You say, why? Why breathe again tomorrow? Why not end it? I watched a movie from on the airplane, international flight, and the title was interesting. It tells you something, just the title, Me Before You. That's interesting. Me Before You. Shouldn't that be you before me? But you know what the whole point of that movie was? Suicide's a good way out. Makes the most sense. You know what, guys? Apart from Jesus Christ, who can argue with that? But the Lord wants us to not think the way that the world thinks. The world is living in this moment, for this moment only. And the world tries to drown out and push out that there is something on the other side. I had a discussion, there's a couple that Jeff and I met in Manila, and we spent some time with you guys to have a Bible study. And I wanted to start with them on how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And they're Catholics, you know, and I wanted to ask them, hey, how do we know? You know, the Pope, whether his authority is real, or whether the authority of the Bible, or whether the authority of the Mormon president, or, you know, just that question. But when I kind of started that, I realized there was a question I needed to back it up from. And, that, you know, I just kind of asked this question. I'd seen a dead... Where's Jeff? Was a dead kitten, Jeff, on the... Two dead kittens on the sidewalk. I can't remember if it was a rabbit or a kitten now. I've been back in here too long. But, you know, and I said, you know, that dead kitten, where does it go? It's done. Died. And I asked them, are we any different than that? And they didn't know. And I was like, okay, I got to start back a step. But God, we've been conditioned to think that this is it. Brian, that's not true. Whether you are in Christ or out of Christ, the reality of it is that when the human body dies, we've been made in the likeness of God. We are spirit beings, and our spirit are going to live forever. And so you got no higher priority than to figure out what life on the other side is going to look like. I have to think about it myself in these ways. You know, because if we don't, we can become Christians, and God can give us His Spirit, and we can still choose to commit spiritual suicide. We can trade away eternity because we don't want to fight and win today. I remember another guy just quit. I asked him why he got tired of the fight. Well, have you thought about what eternity is going to be like? I don't know about you, but I don't want to think about going down a hallway. Okay? And this hallway, and this is 10 years, and this is 20 years, and this is 30 years, and this is 40 years, and to go by and to hear the screams behind the doors of agony away from the presence of God. And you go down another 10 years and the screams, the same screams, away from the presence of God, alone forever. And you go the next 10 and the next 10. How far down can you go? I don't care how tough the fight is today. I want to fight. And I want to win. Because eternity is a long time. And brother, we are going to be exposed, revealed, as sons of God. For eternity. I don't really care what house a person has here in this world. I don't care if you live at the top of the highest mountain in the world and you got the nicest place. You know, I admit there's been a few houses that I remember one I wanted Julie to go look at with me. I was like, you never seen a place like this before. It's cool to look at, but you know, it doesn't matter, does it? What sort of car are you going to drive? Matthew and I were just talking. We saw a nice car. I was like, man, you know, yeah, it's cool to have, but what are you going to do with that thing? They're going to sit there. Doesn't, and no more functional. Matter of fact, usually the really nice ones are less functional in practical purposes than the one you got. Hey, what difference does it make? You know what I want? What's the song say? I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. But I want a mansion over there. Yeah, you know, we are going to be for eternity, guys. It's going to be revealed who we are. This is what matters. And so God wants us to understand we are heirs with Christ. Not only are we sons and daughters, but we're heirs. Everything that Jesus Christ has is shared with us. The book of Proverbs says that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Can we make the right spiritual application? You know, Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes like, man, that's a problem. I die, I leave my stuff to my kids, and what are they going to do with it? I can't control it. It's going to be squandered. It's going to be all vanity. Hey, how about something that's going to last for eternity? How about imparting faith to your children and to your grandchildren? And through that, you do that right. Isn't that something that's important? And that inheritance, brethren, is going to be an eternal one. Everything that Jesus has, He shares with us. I've mentioned this before, and I'm crossing up analogies a little bit, but you know, when I first got married, I flat out did not like to share. And I don't mean, like, I remember Julie one time and I just going to, we're going through Wendy's, and I asked her if she wants a Frosty. She said, no, I get myself a Frosty. She wants to share with me. I'm like, I asked you if you wanted one. You said no. Like, this is my Frosty. Right? If you want one, tell me. I'm happy to buy you your own. You know? But as newly married, I didn't understand. Now I get it. Okay? I get the large. Okay? And I share. And, you know, and then you have kids. And at first you see, you know, your kids. And, like, you watch other people's kids. And you see them backwash and stuff. You're like, no way. Never, man. And pretty soon you're like, you're sharing. With your kids. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. Guys, we're sons and daughters of the King. We're joint heirs. He's willing to share with us. You know, in the world, there's a problem. You want to leave an inheritance. And there's all sorts of people other than the heirs that want to get their hands on that. You know what I mean? I mean, we got Uncle Sam. He got to have his part. And then if you don't want Uncle Sam to get too much, so you hire attorneys, they gotta get their part. You know, and down the line. You know, God doesn't have that problem. I'll just make this point quickly. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. For this reason, Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, He, speaking of Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant. In order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it, for a covenant is valid only when men are dead, or it's never enforced while the one who made it lives. So Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. As the mediator of that covenant, He is the He's the testator, to use the word from the King James. He died and made that covenant come into effect, right? So the promise of the eternal inheritance is going to be for all those who are in Christ. Okay? And when Jesus died, He made that covenant come into effect. But here's the great thing about it. Jesus isn't simply the testator of the covenant. Because Jesus doesn't stay dead. Jesus is also the executor of the estate. Go with me, back with me to chapter 7. We're really talking about Jesus, His resurrection, and the fact that He has an indestructible life. He's high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. In all of this, well, verse 22, just for the sake of time. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Jesus is going to guarantee everything that He promised is going to be carried out. Okay? So the testator, the one who put it in, the one who died, who made this come, he's on the throne, and he's going to make sure that it's given in accordance with what he said. You know, it's, I try to be somebody who's true to my word. I say something, I want to follow through on it. With my kids and with people. But you know, sometimes there are, you can say something and there can be circumstances that are beyond your control that make it impossible for you to actually carry out what you said. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus says don't make an oath. But guys, there are no circumstances that are going to surprise King Jesus. And nothing is going to get in the way of him carrying out what he's promised concerning this inheritance. So what is this inheritance? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 tells you that the Holy Spirit, he's the pledge of our inheritance, isn't he? I like to think of him as he's the proof of purchase. He's the guarantee. Guys, you have the Holy Spirit at Christ's return or when you die, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are an heir. You're going to get it. What's Jesus is yours. In 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about this a little bit in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We could go on. I remember Mike W. got excited one time. I was preaching on this, and I liked it. You know that, hey, your name is on this, right? This is reserved in heaven for you. Hey, God's got your name on it. Your place. Jesus did say, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," didn't he? I'm looking forward to that, brethren. But this is not. Well, it's imperishable and undefiled, and it isn't something that fades away. Right? I'm mindful of what Zimbabwe did with their currency a number of years back. Dropped 10 zeros from the currency overnight. So if you were a billionaire, I'll just make it simple. If you were a billionaire, this morning when you woke up, tomorrow morning you have a dollar to your name. Ouch. You think that the money you got is somehow safer than that? Is your $100, you know, kids have a tough time figuring this out. Why is this paper that says 100 worth any more than this paper that says 1? They both look like paper. Yeah. Why is something that's put into some computer ledger, you know, how difficult is it to remove some zeros from that? Because your hopes in this world, they can be taken away just like that. But the inheritance that God's talking about is one that's imperishable, that is undefiled, and it will never fade away. It's not going to lose value. So I've thought about this. What is this? What Jesus talks about store up treasure in heaven. What is this inheritance? And to make it short, because I've preached way long already, I tell there's a couple girls that I teach math class to, and whoever sits next to me, they have to share their book with me. And for some reason, I don't know why, they aren't always... Well, I guess there's the comfortable chair, the fun chair is on the other side of the table. So they always seem to want to sit across from me in the fun, twisty chair rather than sitting next to me and sharing their book with me. So I have to remind them every day, hey guys, remember, it's not where you are. It's who you're with. It's not where you are, it's who you're with. And I make them say that to me. It's not where you are, and they say, it's who you're with. But that's true, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're in Chico Hot Springs, or if you're in Hawaii, or if you're in the front row, sitting by yourself, sitting next to me. It's not where you are, guys, it's who you're with, isn't it? Guess, you know what the greatest thing about heaven? God is there. All this stuff about the tabernacle and Kevin's just getting into the back room. That back room's awesome. Why? Because God, that was His dwelling place in the old covenant. That was His place. God was there. Because God's in heaven. And it to be in the presence of God, the very best thing you can, the very best experiences of this life blown away. Romans 8, go on, talk about the sufferings of this present time. They're not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed to us. The presence of God. You know, there are people that you know, they like to be around them. Their personality, they light up a room. You're with them. It's just a fun place to be. Is that, maybe that's just a little sliver of the image of God. Where God is, there's life. And oh, you know what else? The saints are there. The inheritance of the saints. Jesus wanted that. You can see why God's so careful about who He lets into heaven. They're going to be an awesome place. And so, I just want to encourage you, brethren. We are children of God. We cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Daddy, I love you. And we also say, yes, Dad. And we are heirs. Everything that the Lord has, He willingly shares with us. Some of that we get to experience here. And it's enough. I'm still going to say, it's a glimmer, guys. What we get by faith, it's going to be sight. He gives us enough by faith to be motivated to keep going. But what we get when it's sight, the very, whatever the worst things in this life, you're never going to remember them. Scripture says that. Behold, I'm making all things new. There's no tears. There's no death. There's no mourning. Those things passed. Make sure you're in God's house. The family of God now is the place to be. But you know, that house for eternity, that's the one that matters. We got no higher priority than to make sure of our eternal home. Oh, and you know what would come right pretty quickly right beside that? Anybody you love, you want to help them make it there. Let's stand.